Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
When you come to God's house, there is a promise that something good is going to happen to you. And tonight, somebody's going to be blessed. Everybody's going to be blessed. But somebody's going to be blessed beyond measure. Somebody's life is going to turn around. And you remember I preached, I don't know, half a dozen Wednesday nights ago about the difference between starting over and beginning again. Somebody's going to begin again. And you're going to have the best day of your life tomorrow in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of the word of the Lord? Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3. Then he said, this would be Elisha, and then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. You may be seated. This is an exciting story. There's no greater turnaround than this story, and it happens in 7 verses, which tells me that God can do a quick work and a big work very, very suddenly. We're not sure how long it took. It might have been a matter of hours, but at the least, it was just a day or a few days that this woman's life turned around tremendously. She went from total destitution to total prosperity in just a few verses. She came to the prophet destitute. You know, destitution is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's better than mediocrity, because in mediocrity you will just keep doing the same thing and barely getting by. But sometimes when you get destitute, it forces you to take action that will cause victory to come to your life. And so just because you're at the end of your rope does not mean it's over. The end of the rope is a wonderful place to discover faith. When you realize I have no alternative, people say it all the time, said there wasn't nothing left to do but pray. In other words, it was the last resort. They'd called the bank, they'd called the lawyer, they'd called the doctor, they'd called mama, they'd called mama-in-law, they talked to their friends. Nothing would help, and so now they're going to pray. If they'd prayed first, they wouldn't have had to call the banker, the lawyer, or their mama-in-law. They could have just had victory right then. God wants good things for our life. Let's look at this story just by reading the first and the last verse. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now go to verse number 7 with me. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. She went from destitution to total prosperity in just a matter of 7 verses. The faith this woman took was initiated by the words of the prophet. The faith is always preceded by the word of God. Whether you read it yourself, whether your husband quotes it to you, whether your preacher gives it to you, or you hear it on TV, when you hear the word of God, if you will meditate, as the Bible said, day and night, everything you do will prosper. If you will hear the word of God, it will cause faith to come up in your life. Here is a woman that is not only destitute financially, she's destitute mentally. She feels like there's absolutely no hope. She's a single mother. Her poverty is so bad that she is about to have the state to take away her children, and she calls on the prophet of God, and he gives her a word. Oh, for a preacher like that, for a preacher that will tell you the word of God. They will not introduce you to politics and theories and principles from the world, but he will introduce you to the word of God and the promises of God, a God that is yea and amen, a God that is on your side, a God that is not only able, but a God that is willing. And very quickly, Elisha changes her life by telling her that anything is possible if you will believe. Faith always demands action. In the presence of absurdity. It seems to be absurd when you're facing destitution, that some little things that the man of God tells you will turn it around. That's the way faith always works. It's go dip in the river, and you will be cleansed of leprosy. It's tear the roof off, and you will be in the presence of the Creator. It's always absurd. Faith is always present. It is always present in the presence of absurdity. It takes real faith to do that which is not normal or natural, but to trust God. Destitution demands divine help. It demands a miracle. Destitution is sometimes a whole lot better than just getting along. It forces us to action. One reason why missionaries report more bona fide miracles than American pastors is because they're dealing with people that are destitute. They do not have the ability to go to the government and get help. They can't make a phone call and get help. They can't borrow from their neighbors because their neighbors are also destitute. They don't have good medical help. They can't go get surgery. And so somebody comes and gives them a message of hope, and they tell us about blind eyes being opened, of lame legs being straightened, of miracles happening. It's because these people were living at the intersection of destitution and hopelessness, and they had nothing else to do but believe God. Well, there's some people here tonight that you might not be destitute, but you ought to reach out and say, God, I want you to perform your miracles in my life. Because my life might be a little mediocre, and I want to change from mediocrity to greatness. And I want to believe bigger. God wants you to plan bigger. That's what I'm talking about. Bigger than you ever have in your life. A prophet's widow is destitute to the point of losing her children when she makes a radical demand on the prophet Elisha. Elisha's response is to question the widow's seed. It always starts with seed. Always starts with seed. The answer to your problem is in your seed. You say, I don't have any seed. If you've got a button on your shirt or a shirt on your back, you've got seed. If you don't have anything, if you've got two hands or one hand, you've got seed. God will never, ever lead you seedless if you have a desire to sow, because the Bible declares that He will give seed to the sower. I am a sower, and because God is a blesser of the sower, I am a harvester. And praise God, when I come to the end of the rope, I don't tie a knot and hang on. I say, God, give me the strength to start going back up that rope, because I'm believing God that I'm not going to live at the bottom. I'm going to live at the top. Everybody has seed. The most common treatment of seed is, number one, to eat it. Those people are doomed. Number two is hide it. They're not better off. Third is to discount it, and occasionally somebody sows it. One out of four was her choices, and she chose to discount her seed, say it's not valuable. Friend, I don't care where you are in life today, what your educational level is, how much money you have in the bank, I promise you that you are valuable to God. And because you are valuable to God, God has sown in you a seed that will produce a great harvest. It's just up to you to take inventory. And so that's exactly what Elisha told the woman to take inventory. He said, what do you have in your house? She discounted the worth of her seed. She said, I don't have anything of value. I have nothing in my house save a pot of oil. Just a little bottle of oil is all I had. She saw no value in that. But the man of God understood that God did not leave her seedless, and He was going to help her sow that seed and reap a harvest that is absolutely fantastic. The prophet's role is to convince the woman to sow the seed. That's exactly what my role is as a pastor, is to convince you to sow your seed. Not just your tithe and your offering and what you give to this church, but to sow your seed into life. Because you've got something that nobody else has. You have a personality that is as unique as your fingerprint. And God made you in His image with a specific purpose and plan. And God wants you to do something with what He has invested in you. The two prerequisites for divine intervention, a miracle in your life, number one is to sow the seed, and number two, create a capacity for the harvest. That's what God wants you to do. Let me say it again. Sow the seed, and by faith, prepare and enlarge your capacity for harvest. So the prophet said to her, well, that's enough. If you've got a bottle of oil, that's enough. But there's something you must do. She was not asking for a lifetime of blessing. She was destitute. That's the problem with destitution. It lives for the moment. This man was not interested in coming to her house every day and giving her a hand up or a sandwich. He was interested in changing her life to where he would never, ever have to come there again. She would be going other places doing what he was doing. That's the story of the gospel. You're not supposed to have to receive encouragement every time you come to the house of God. Sometimes you're here to release encouragement. Sometimes you're not the hungry boy. Sometimes you're the boy with the lunch that's going to feed the multitude. Sometimes you don't walk into this church on the bottom. You sail in here on the top. You're the first one to praise God and the last one to leave, because you remember what it was when you were destitute, about to lose everything you had, including your family, and the Word of God came to you and changed your life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same old pattern over and over, and it replicates itself over and over. What's happened to me has happened to people before me, and it should be happening to after me. God took me when I was nothing and turned me into something. God found me when I was empty and filled me up. God took me when I was dying and made me the reservoir of eternal life. And God wants to do the very same thing in your life. And sow the seed, but also get ready to create a large capacity to receive. And so he said to her, go to all your neighbors. It's important. He didn't say your next door neighbors. He said everybody in town. Because what God is getting ready to do for you will not be held by what your next door neighbor has. It's going to be so great. It's going to incapacitate everybody you know. Let me say to somebody in this house tonight, that God is getting ready to create in you a harvest and a blessing so big. It's not just going to bless you, Mama. It's going to bless your unsaved husband until he gets the Holy Ghost. It's going to bless your three wayward children. It's going to bless your sister and your sister-in-law. It's going to bless your family and your co-workers. I'm saying to somebody in this building, sow your seed. Your seed might be a hallelujah, a handshake, or a smile. It might be a dollar given or a cake baked. It might be a ride to the market. I don't know what your seed is, but God knows, and he's trying to identify that seed to you tonight, that you can come out of a place of need and lack and come to a place of overflow. Literally a harvest that you're not able to contain. So he said, go to all your neighbors. And this is the theme of what I'm saying. Think bigger. I'm also saying borrow not a few. Don't limit what's going to happen by having just a minimum. When you look at that word few in the Hebrew, it means small. It means depleted. It means out of stuff. That's what it means. He said, lady, I want you to begin to enlarge the thinking capacity you have. You're thinking that I'm going to help you today. I'm going to fix you for a lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, if you really get saved, it's not simply a meeting at the 50-yard line or great crusade. It's not a momentary fix at Living Ways altar. If you will allow God to do what he wants to do in your life, it will last you a lifetime and beyond. That's what God wants to do for somebody in this house tonight. God wants to change the way you think. He wants to change the way you act. He wants to change the way you are, and he wants to change the way that you are going to become. God said through Elisha, borrow not a few. God always provides more than enough. Don't prepare for little. Don't prepare for just enough. She would have settled for little. She would have settled for just enough. Don't prepare for little. Don't prepare for just enough, but rather prepare for more than enough. That's God's pattern. He's a more than enough God. Not just enough to get you by, but enough that you have to share it with everybody you can. When he had the Passover lamb and they killed that lamb and roasted it, he said, if it's too big for your house, he said, share it with your neighbors. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, if the gospel is too big for one person, it can't be contained in one household. It's whosoever will. Whosoever will. It's for a house. It's for a generation. It's for a world. world that Jesus Christ died, and he intended for us to eat the lamb. He intended for us to multiply the oil until it affects everybody in the sphere of our influence. Can you give the Lord praise? Elisha uses God's favorite word. God must love this word because it's used over and over in the Bible. God used a word, Elisha used a word that God uses over and over, and that word is pour. He said, get those empty vessels and begin to pour. God loves the word pour. I was so shocked yesterday evening when I went to my electronic concordance and typed in the word drip. It's not in the Bible. Drip, drip, drip. That's the devil's language. Pour, pour, pour. That's God. God doesn't want to give you a drop here tonight. God wants to pour out upon you a blessing that you are not able to contain. He's not a God that's a smidgen bit. That's what my mama used to say. A smidgen. Just give somebody a smidgen of something. God's not in the smidgen bit business. He's a pouring out God. He's a God of overflow. He is a God of abundance. You might have come to this place morally, spiritually, economically destitute, but I'm going to tell you it only took 7 verses in the Bible. It could only take 7 minutes of your life tonight to have a change of heart, to have a change of mind, to rendezvous with the creator of the universe and walk out of this place what the Bible calls a brand new creation. You shall pour out into all the vessels. God loves that word. He uses it redundantly throughout the word. Never does he say drip, but in Proverbs 1:23, turn you at my reproof, God says, because I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. In Acts 10:45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also they saw what happened, because God didn't just touch the Gentiles. God didn't just give them a token, a thimbleful, but the Bible said that they saw God poured out the Holy Gift of the Holy Ghost. In Joel 2:8, when he talks about the advent of the Spirit of God to the Jewish church, and then he talks about the end time which we are a part of, this is what God said through Joel. Afterward, I will pour out of my spirit upon all people. There's a whole lot of people that are legalistic and confined to the history of the church, and they believe that God's greatest days were yesterday. The church's finest days were in the museum, but I've got news for you. I'm serving a God that was not and will not be again. He's a God that was and will be again. He's a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God's got a promise for the 21st century population, and that is, I won't send you a thimbleful, a smidgen, or a drip. He said, I will pour out upon my spirit, upon all flesh in the last days. Can I be bold enough to tell you that San Antonio has not seen its greatest harvest, nor had its greatest revival? Can I tell you that America has not had its greatest spiritual resurgence? Can I tell you that countries that are now agnostic and atheist and written off by missionaries are yet to have an outpouring of the Spirit, not because they deserve it, because nobody deserves the cross, nobody deserves the joy of the Holy Spirit, but praise God, we didn't get it because we deserved it. We deserved it because God is a good God all the time, and he loves his children. Even though they might be ignorant and alien, God still loves us, and he said, in the last days, I won't miss any. Anybody. Nobody will be exempt. There won't be any aliens. God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That means Christianity, whether they call themselves Pentecostal Assembly of God, Baptist Church of God in Christ, Church of Christ, that includes the Muslims, that includes the atheist and the agnostic. He's in all flesh. That means white flesh, brown flesh, black flesh, red flesh, yellow flesh. In the last days, God said, I can't help myself. I'm a pourer. I just pour it out. That's what I do. And tonight in this house, God's walking the dark hills and steps at every pew and looks at every face and says, is there anybody here tonight that would be a recipient of what I want to pour out? Because I've come to pour out my blessing on Living Way Church. We have not had our best service. We have not had our biggest crowd. We haven't seen our biggest blessing. The best is yet to come. There's a God that's about to pour it out. Can somebody give God a praise? Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. I feel somebody having a breakthrough. Somebody just got a healing. Somebody's family member just got saved in the Spirit of God. Somebody just got a new car. Somebody got a job. Somebody's body just was healed. The cancer's gone. The blood pressure is adjusted. God's poured it out. Give God some praise in this house. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shako sotolo baha. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody that was destitute just drug up another empty vessel. Get your vessels out. Empty your vessels. Put them all around you. God's going to give you a little bottle of oil and you're going to begin to pour. And there is no end to it. There is no bottom to that oil. It's just going to flow and flow and flow and flow. I've told you before, the greatest opioid of Christian people is religion. I had to divorce myself from religion. I had to empty thought out of my life. Friend, I used to be, if I got a blessing, I'd think, well, that's all I deserve for a while. I've been on the mountain, and now I'm going to have to experience a lot of days in the valley. That's the way the devil wants you to think, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. Just because you got a check yesterday doesn't mean you can't get one today. Just because God healed you of leukemia doesn't mean that He can't heal you of something in your joints. He is a God that is not restricted to one blessing every little while. He's a daily God. He's an ever-present God. He's a God that just can't quit pouring out His blessings. And if He's a God that can't quit pouring, why aren't we a people that can't quit praising? I just can't quit. I just can't quit praising Him, for He is worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my dance. He's worthy of my applause. He's worthy of my singing. He's worthy of my exclamation. He's a worthy God. Everything, praise the Lord. Seven times a day will I praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When the church began in Acts chapter 2, Peter jumped up and said, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Praise God. He is a God of overflow. He's a God that loves to pour out. Malachi would write in the last book of the Old Testament, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in thy house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. That sound you heard, you thought it was thunder. When the God of the universe spoke to Jesus and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The disciples that stood around said, it thundered. But Jesus said, no, it's the voice of God. What some people call an earthquake or thunder or trouble is really just the sound of the windows of heaven going up. It's preparatory to the fact that God's getting ready for another pour. I want to tell you here at Living Way Church, we've been blessed for 43 years. We've been blessed coming in and going out. We've been blessed in the morning and we've been blessed in the evening. We've been blessed with money. We've been blessed with buildings. We've been blessed with land. We've been blessed with people. We've been blessed with the Spirit of Almighty God. But I just heard the window going up, and thank God it means that we're getting ready for another pour. The great God of the universe has just stepped up to the open window and has got a big vessel in His hand, and he said, look out below. It's not going to be a smidgen. It's not going to be a drop. It's going to be a gully washer. It's going to be an outpouring, an outpouring. There's an outpouring coming to this church. There's an outpouring coming to somebody's life, and you ought to give God praise right now. Hallelujah. Oh, you ought to praise God like you're leaving the bank after you made your deposit. You ought to praise God like you just left the hospital and you have no appointments to go back. You ought to praise God like you just bought your wedding gown. You ought to praise God like you're on your honeymoon. You ought to praise God like you just bought a company. You ought to praise God like you just had a record day, that you just broke up a record in your life. Praise God. The wind is up and the pouring is beginning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The truth is that most Christians struggle to sow. But just as equally limiting is they simply never create a large enough capacity to receive. Left up to the widow, she would have settled for one dishpan in the sink. All she wanted was just a little bread for a cake. All she wanted was just a little wine in a cup. But Elisha said, I'm not going to leave you with that blessing. I'm going to change your life. When I leave here, I'm going to be giving you instructions for the rest of your life. Pay off all your debt and live on the rest. That's what God is saying to somebody in this building tonight. He wants you to pay off all your debt and live on the rest. Oh, praise God. There's somebody in here. I was in a restaurant the other day. There was a woman, 73 years of age, sweetheart of an old lady. She shuffled over to my table. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was with a pastor. And I said, what you doing here working, darling? She said, I have to work. My husband died, and this is all I got to keep me alive. We had a piece of pie and a glass of milk, and I paid my bill and left her a $100 tip, and she hugged me and cried. And the pastor with me cried. He said, you do that often? I said, not often enough, but I want to get to where I can do it every time I eat. I just want there to be overflow in my life, that everybody in my wake is blessed. I want to get to the place, praise God, that I can pay all my debts and live on the rest. I don't like destitution. I ain't destitute and I ain't never going to go back there anymore. But praise God, I ain't as rich as I want to be. I'm not as blessed as I'm going to be. And I'm not got the harvest that God has yet to send me. But praise God, I'm claiming it every day. I'm praising God for it every day. I'm acting like it's already here. Somebody act like it's already here right now. Somebody act like you just got the biggest healing in America. Somebody just act like you won more souls than Billy Graham. Somebody in this building right now needs to act like they know what God is doing in their life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This Bible is a story of God's pouring out, our outpouring, and man's inability and lack of capacity to receive. God wanted to explain to us about heaven, and he said, they won't understand. So he said in Revelation 7:9, a great multitude which no man can number. He didn't say, I can't. He said, you run out of numbers. You just don't have the capacity. We need to get us another computer. We can't even figure out how many people are going to be saved. He said a number no man can number. Oh, we love David, and we get thrilled when he said in Psalm 23, thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint as my head, and my cup runneth over. David, why don't you get a bigger cup? You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. The widow didn't know it was coming, but Elisha knew it was coming. He said, borrow not a few. Friend, I want to be an Elisha to somebody in this building. You might not know it's coming, but I'm telling you to borrow not a few. I'm telling you that God is getting ready to pour blessings on you, then you have the capacity to receive, and you need to start enlarging your capacity by praying, by reading the Word of God, by looking at people that have succeeded in God and say, I got to think bigger, I got to do bigger, I got to sow bigger, I got to expect more, because God is getting ready to do something in my life. It's a terrible thing when you just don't have the capacity. And it's just a momentary thing. It's there and then it's gone. You get it now or you don't. I saw in Indiana, I think it was the other day, where a door came out on an armored car and hundreds of thousands of dollars fell out in the road. The police did something that was very smart. They didn't pick up the money. You know what they did? They went and wrote all the license plate numbers of the cars that were parked picking up the money. They thought they was getting away with it. Praise God. I'm going to get the money and make Loomis pay for it. Hallelujah. Friend, they just didn't have big enough wallets and big enough bags. The police is looking for them. I don't know what they got away with. Friend, but we're not serving a policeman that wants to hold you accountable for every blessing. We're serving a God that wants to hold you accountable because you didn't have the capacity to receive what He has given you. What He has given you. What He has given you. And He's already showed you that, but He's showing it to you again. Get ready. Get ready. I'm getting ready to pour it out. Borrow the vessels and borrow not a few. Get not dishpans, but get wash tubs. Anybody got an old pickup truck? Back it up here. Hallelujah. I saw a redneck swimming pool the other day. It was a pickup truck with a vinyl insert inside of it. The guy was driving down the road. His two kids were in the back of the pickup truck, just splashing along in the water. Praise God. If you've got an empty pickup truck, you need to back it up, because God's not going to fill up your thimbles. God's not going to fill up your glass. God's not going to fill up your wash pan. He said, borrow the vessels and don't borrow small ones. Don't borrow a few. Get ready, because God is opening up the windows of heaven. David, get a bigger cup. And when Jesus stepped out and they had caught no fish, but God's word came forth, the Bible said it this way. And when this was done, they closed a great multitude of fish and their nets break. Just the same old story. Just can't contain the blessing of God. Get bigger nets. And then they called for other boats. Get a bigger boat. That's what God is saying to somebody in this building. Get a bigger cup. Get a bigger net. Get a bigger boat. Get more vessels. Borrow not a few. How do I increase my capacity to receive the miracle? Remember what Jesus said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Praise God. I want to get a vessel so big that it don't run over, that they don't have to press it down, that they don't have to say, we can't get any more here. Increase your capacity, because we have a God that is a creator, and His ability is not threatened. He can create more than you can dream, more than you can ask, more than you can think. Praise God. How do I increase my capacity? Thinking. Begin to think big. Begin to dream big. Begin to confess on your dream. Pre-praise is an amazing thing. We are post-praise people. We are post-praise people. After it happens, we'll praise God. The people that have overflowing capacity are not post-praise people. They're pre-praise people. Before it ever happens, they can come in here barefooted and just dance all over this building for a new pair of shoes, because they're pre-praise. They know, praise God, if they praise God for a pair of shoes, that their toenails will be covered before the sun sets. They understand that you praise God not after it happens. Even the world will do that. But real people of faith, they praise God when it's not yet manifest. They praise God before the conception. They praise God before the immaculation. They praise God before the delivery. And then they praise God at the birth. Oh, tonight, it may not even have been conceived in you, but you ought to be praising God like you're pregnant with promise. And if you will praise God, I promise you that God's word will impregnate the seed that God has put inside of you. And you'll start feeling pangs by tomorrow and next week. And then when you begin to realize, I am now pregnant with the promise of God, I have conceived, you're still praising God, and you'll carry that thing every day, every day, every day. But praise God, when the pain comes, the pangs of childbirth, you won't say, I wished I never. You said, I got to endure a little pain for the joy that is set before me. I think I'll praise God in my pain. Has anybody ever praised God in pain? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there is a harvest for people that praise God in pain that the normal person will never, never, never know. Sometimes it's the pain of having a checkbook that's totally empty, of having a need in your life that the doctor can't fix, having a need in your life that your companion can't fix. What are you going to do? I'm going to give God the praise, because this I know, that this prophet has spoken to me, that God is going to cause the oil to multiply in my life, and the oil is always a symbol of blessing of God. Would you stand with me right now in this building? There are people that are getting ready to have God pour out that open window of blessing in you, and you need to praise God no matter where you are. If you're in the joy of conception or the pain and travail of birth, I don't care. It's time to begin to praise God and say, praise God, I don't have any drippings on me, but I tell you what I'm beginning to feel. The Lord is pouring out on me a blessing that I've never known in my life. All over this building, can you give God some praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's the consummation of this story? Three things. Three things. Number one, it canceled her debt. Number two, it gave her a living. And number three, it took care of her children. Isn't that what all of us want? Is our debt canceled, sister? It's your debt canceled. Oh, no man, nothing. And have a living that is abundant and joyful, the desires of your heart. That's number two. And then number three, have all your children blessed coming in and going out. That's the story that I've just preached to you tonight. And God wants to do that for people in this building. If you want to be included, I challenge you to get out of your pew and make your way down here and begin to pre-praise God. Like it already happened in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Sister Sherry, have I ever told you're one of my favorite people in the whole world?